Welcome to Life's a Pitch, the podcast where we pitch the best films that'll never get made. I'm Matt Turner.
And I'm Tom McGrath. And the game goes like this. We ask you, our devoted listeners, to come up with titles that you'd like to hear us pitch.
We then collaborate, coming up with story points, casting, and even marketing strategies.
Without further ado, this week's title is... Standing on the edge of a cliff and shouting Sarah at the sea. That's the title for our art house movie this week. That title given to us by Marcus Newman. He found us on Facebook at facebook.com/ Life's a Pitch podcast.
I'll be honest, guys. It's going to be a wild one.
Oh, it's going to be fun. I'm going to enjoy this one.
So joining us for our art house episode this week is Adam Owen. Welcome back to the show, Adam.
Holla, holla, holla. How are you all doing?
Not too bad. Yeah. Adam, well known to the show, to listeners of the show, for most of your episodes turning into fist-related movies.
I always thought it was more just about chopping off someone's hand and then replacing it with Willem Dafoe.
I mean, yeah, that too. You know.
My fist is Willem Dafoe.
It goes both ways, really.
Yeah, yeah.
are you got a broad experience with art house films, Adam?
I went to university to study films.
I thought this you club... were going to stop at I went to university.
Either way, this club cannot even handle me right now, boys.
As I said before, Marcus Newman got in touch with us on Facebook, facebook.com/ Life's a Pitch podcast. If you listen to this, give us a follow there or a like, I think it is on Facebook. Give us a follow on our Twitter account, which is at Life's a Pitch Show, if you're enjoying the show so far. So, do you want to go through some honourable art mentions?
Some arty-farty honourable mentions,
These might actually be the best answers. They're just more not as commercially well known.
Yeah, yeah. It's,
yeah, basically.
All the ones that didn't make it this time got snubbed by the establishment, the Life's a Pitch establishment.
Yeah. These were only shown in little theatres on a projector screen.
Out the back of coffee houses.
Yeah.
Which only sell... beans themselves. You've got to grind them, and
they only sell Heinz baked beans, which you put in a coffee machine.
And when someone goes in and asks, "Hang on, this isn't coffee," and then the server will just say, "You just don't get it."
Yeah,
and then you feel alienated, and you'll just join part of the group think and hope that no one brings up an Emperor's New Clothes style situation where everyone's eating beans instead of coffee.
everyone's eating mushed up beans in tomato sauce.
This is a parody of the concept of the high-end coffee brand. We might as well all be eating Heinz baked beans.
Hi, welcome to Star Beans.
Oh, that's such a basic, like... use of parody. I love it.
We're already there, aren't we? We're already in the right
It's too
brain
easy
space.
For me to join in on how cynical I can be on this. It's going to be brilliant.
Okay, so from Joe Thompson, we've got Crab Debt.
Crab Debt.
Crab Debt. And it's all in capital letters as well.
Which says to me that it's an acronym.
Oh, no. We're going to have to figure
out. Oh, no. Now, I was thinking, right, a beach in France. There's a little crab wandering around. It's all in black and white.
This is stop motion.
No, it's just a crab. It's just footage of a crab.
Regular footage of a crab.
Regular footage of a crab. Don't worry with children or animals.
But this is the one we can have, like, proper Hollywood especially actors voicing all of these animals.
Nah.
Are you sure?
Nah.
It will work for...
Just John Malkovich.
Okay.
We photoshopped the face of John Malkovich onto this crab.
Can he do all the voices?
Like, you can't train a crab. Can you, really? You can't tell it to sit. You can't
Maybe
tell
you
it to sit.
Can't.
Or
my crab did backflips yesterday. What's yours doing? Just standing there like an idiot. Mm.
It's just walking around. It can't even walk forwards. It just walks sideways.
I wonder, can I get a crab to do a backflip? Because that's such a stupid image.
Yeah, it's on a black and white. It's sort of this beach in Calais. Or Cannes. Let's go with Cannes.
Yeah, let's go with Cannes, because everyone's going to feel real good at that festival, going like, oh, it's just outside.
No, but the audience will go, that's a little on the nose, and then you just look at them with an eyebrow raise.
Well, why do you think the Mr. Bean's Holiday won so many awards?
Because it's in Cannes. It's
why
set
do
in
you
Cannes.
Think it's forever known as Willem Dafoe's greatest film?
It is.
Halfway through that film, they make their own stupid art house pitch. It's kind of excellent.
Yeah.
They do. Not halfway through, it's the denouement of the film.
But, Crab Debt is John Malkovich photoshopped onto the face of this crab as he just film a crab, the day in the life of a crab, basically.
But on the other side, so John Malkovich is making a documentary, right? And we start with John Malkovich starting to make this film, right? This documentary about a day in the life of a crab.
Hmm.
Someone else is making a day in the life of a crab film, but totally like spicing it up, making them seem like they're like in trouble with the sharks. And
it's a Pixar movie that's being made about crabs.
Kind of, yeah, but it's sort of like you know how Planet Earth got in trouble a little while back. For like using footage from a zoo, a polar bear enclosure in the zoo, to demonstrate polar bears hibernating. Like they followed this polar bear in the Arctic. They followed this polar bear all the way to the hibernation point, but obviously because they couldn't get a camera in there without disturbing its hibernation, they showed a shot
disturbing. Without waking up the bear.
Yeah, they showed a shot of cameras installed in a polar bear enclosure in a zoo and didn't reference that it was in a different place.
Yeah.
They just cut to and the assumption, and because they didn't make that clear, everyone blew up about it.
Mm.
And so the I think this is a commentary on that. Someone's making a real John Malkovich is making a really really true to life documentary about the day in the life of a crab. And then Weird Al Yankovic is making a documentary that's just like, well, the crab is he's having a bad day because his wife, this jellyfish, has said that he's got to get a better job.
But now he's got to work for the sharks.
What up? The John Malkovich movie, Crab Debt, is about... it's really about, guys, it's really about the financial housing crisis.
So,
hear me out.
The crux of the film, like the difference between John Malkovich making a real true-to-life film about a crab where you extrapolate your own meaning to it, while Weird Al Yankovic makes a totally bonkers off-the-walls...
Yeah.
Extravaganza where he makes up stupid scenarios, and then at a point like him and John Malkovich like clash over the course of them making both their films.
But let's explore what John Malkovich's film is about this housing crisis.
He's just taking videos of crabs while crying softly.
Well, no, like I think John Malkovich
I want to know about Weird Al's film. It sounds brilliant.
Has printed his face off and then cut it out and stuck it to this one crab.
Yeah.
And then filmed it going around. And this one crab, because you know how crabs can, like, change their shells?
Well, hermit crabs can.
Right. Hermit crabs, that's the one, can change its shell. And this one crab's walking around the beach just like, oh, fuck, I can't get a house. All I can do is rent shells. I can't find one for myself because they're all being taken up. And like, there's one crab with two shells that they're just renting it out. I want one for myself.
This sounds like Weird Al's film.
But that's what Weird Al has to say. Where he's like, maybe our films are not so different after all. And then they make out on the beach.
It ends with John Malkovich and Weird Al running across the beach. But there's a shot of John Malkovich standing on the crab with his face on it.
And then the words...
But what happens is the crab has to take off his mask and say, they have both paid the crab debt.
Well, the words crab debt in all capitals come up on the screen, right?
Yeah.
And from below, the letters fade in. Cross-referencing A to B does not equal being true.
This all goes on while Weird Al Yankovic and John Malkovich kissing on the beach in Cannes.
Yeah. I hope you realised that that was an acronym for crab debt.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. I really appreciated that one.
Crab debt. There's no opening title. It just starts with a crab wandering on a beach trying to find a shell. And then Weird Al Yankovic and John Malkovich run across the beach, kiss each other, and then cut to black. The title comes up, crab debt. No credits, just crab debt.
Just crab debt with that nice handy acronym that points at your interpretation of the two films and tells you that you've got it wrong.
No one expected that interpretation.
We have made the ultimate postmodern critical analysis on crabs and the debt we must pay to them. This has just won the Golden Lion Award. It's brilliant.
And art, because within the film, we tell the audience that they've interpreted it wrong.
Exactly. Like, we've got Brad Pitt in the audience. He has just shit himself with glee. Like, there's a big old smile on his face.
The entire cast of Glee have all shat themselves.
With Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt wanted to show how happy he was that he saw this film, so he brought the cast of Glee with him. For the most part, they're there.
This is such a weird episode. Like, I don't even know if it's funny or not.
I'm loving this.
That's the weird thing. I'm just like, is this funny or is this just us throwing a load of shit at a wall?
But isn't that the art house experience in general?
Yeah.
Anytime you criticise any part of this, I'm just going to throw that at you and assume that my job's done. So, yeah, okay, anyone listening, you just don't get it.
If you don't like it, you just don't get it. That's the problem.
It's your fault for not getting it, audience.
Exactly. I hear Jason Bateman has a new comedy coming out soon. Maybe you should just shit yourself in front of that one.
Wait, hang on. Right. Adam, you don't have to shit yourself at the cinema.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I don't know, Tom.
I don't work in one like you do.
I was going to say, Adam works at a cinema. Yeah, I think he'd know best.
Well, I don't think you have enough evidence to disprove my claims. I think we should just go along with it.
He's it. I've been doing it wrong all these years.
Yeah.
Maybe
you do have to go to the cinema.
It's the only way to express delight.
By shitting yourself.
And then just looking around to see if everyone noticed.
That's why you didn't like Rogue One, Tom. You didn't shit yourself in the middle. Really be appreciated.
This is a cinema that has an even bigger case of snobbishness when it comes to people leaving halfway through to go to the toilet.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Just do it here. You can't peel your eyes away. Okay, so from Uncle Saab Mihirji, we've got The Child is Meaningless.
The Child is Meaningless. That's a scary one. It's got to be a scary one.
The Child is Meaningless.
A scary one.
You know?
the child is meaningless.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of A-list actors here in black and white leaning in towards the camera and whispering that the child is meaningless.
You know that child? We've got... There? Don't worry about it, it's meaningless.
I think it's one of the kids from Stranger Things wandering through a field.
Is the only Finn one Wolfhard. I know.
But never, Finn Wolfhard never speaks in this film.
No, no, he's walking through a field. You
know? Yeah.
The clouds are very dark. It's all in black and white. He's walking through this field of wheat.
Wheat, yeah.
Cut to an interview with Denzel Washington just saying the child is meaningless. Cut back to Finn Wolfhard walking through a field of wheat. Cut to an interview with Jennifer Lawrence. The child is meaningless. Cut back to Finn Wolfhard walking through
hours.
A field of wheat.
He's not always walking through a field of wheat. Sometimes he's walking like past a man cutting down a tree.
He's not always walking through a field of wheat. He's walking to something.
Sometimes, at one point, he's walking down a French-looking street, and there's a red balloon passes over above, and flies off into the wind, and then cut back to Willem Dafoe going, "The child is meaningless."
There's a billboard in the background of one of them that says "Disillusion" in big. Bright red letters. It's a black and white film, but that's the only thing in colour.
Disillusion.
Disillusion. Cut to Natalie Portman going, "The child is meaningless."
Cut back to a beach.
This is the most pure art house shit I've ever heard. It's good for a real thing.
Cut back to a beach with another billboard that says "Dissolution."
Dissolution.
Yeah, with a big vat and stuff dissolving in it.
He has to walk into the ocean.
He's just walking into... It's all sort of profile as well. The camera's moving with him.
In the background, you've got Ave Maria. Because that means it's deep.
What? The ocean is deep? He walks slowly down into the ocean.
The film is deep. The ocean's deep. I mean, the child's not deep, he's meaningless, but you know.
And then he goes under the sea, and then cut to Sebastian from The Little Mermaid.
The child is meaningless.
The child is meaningless, man.
And then...
In fact, you cut to Sebastian in mid-song. Mid under the sea. And he turns away from the steel drums and just all the music drops out and just says, "The child is meaningless."
The child is meaningless. Like that.
A crappy MIDI version of it.
Yes. Polyphonic. So like a 90s mobile phone. So what else could Finn Wolfhard be walking through?
He walks out of the ocean into a town where everything is foreclosed upon because this is an art house film.
Yeah. a load of closed, shuttered up shop fronts and empty cafes.
But it has to eventually lead to the finale where he walks into a Walmart. And all of the celebrities we saw before are in robes.
First he goes past a shop that is like an old video shop, like an old VHS and DVD shop that also used to sell like magazines about those things, and you know those kind of places. If they were ever independent, they're always just closed. No one ever bought that space. It's just like full of empty boxes of those things. On the walls are just posters of Alan Rickman's face in all of the roles. Like, it's been photoshopped on to, like, into all the roles in all the posters. So there's Alan Rickman on a spaceship, in the cockpit of a spaceship, grimacing as he flies flies a spaceship through the heart of a sun. And then Alan Rickman clutching a broadsword as he decapitates a Gorgon. And then Alan Rickman...
is every film titled "The Child Is Meaningless," though?
Yeah. Alan Rickman gunning down banditos in a western shootout as he grits his teeth against the setting sun. And then the child...
Is there a TV? The only thing that's working in that store is the single TV.
Yeah.
That has that, where it's an old VHS recording of one of the films Alan Rickman's in, but it keeps saying "the child is meaningless" over and over.
The child is meaningless.
It's the western one. He's gritting his teeth against the sun, saying "the child is meaningless."
The child is meaningless.
You know what this film reminds me of?
Number 9. Revolution 9.
No. Beatles. Brody Quest. The YouTube video Brody Quest.
Yeah, listeners, if you haven't heard of it, go and look it up. It's hilarious.
Basically, right. Adrian Brody with Finn Wolfhard. Cut in a load of people saying the child is meaningless, and you've got this film. Stretch it out over 3 hours.
It ends with some sort of big finale, though. I'm still hoping.
Yeah, they really change your perspective on everything.
He stops. And looks up. The camera moves around him, and you see what he's looking at, and it's a giant billboard for Coney 2012.
And then it just goes to black.
Yeah.
And it has the longest credits in history because of how many celebrities they had in it.
Yeah, yeah. And then we... it cuts to black, and then it goes, if we make Coney famous, people will have to get rid of him. Mahatma Gandhi. Cut to black.
Cut to black. Fade up. Joseph Kony saying the child is meaningless.
Credits roll. The Power of Love by Huey Lewis and the News plays.
That was beautiful, man. That was like poetry.
Yeah, that was wonderful. That was so meaningful.
So at the film festival now, someone set a chair on fire. We have no idea whether or not it's related to the film itself, but we still think it's a good thing. That's such an extreme reaction to anything. We can only assume.
We can mark that down as positive feedback, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Any reaction is positive feedback, really, for this.
Jennifer Lawrence cannot remember when she was in the film, but she still appreciated the thought.
Well, that's the point at which the actual film, right? This is where it gets good. The actual film is not.
This is where it gets good.
The actual film is the behind the scenes, where it's a documentary where they talk to the cast of this film, and none of them can remember being in it.
It's like what's it? Heart of Darkness and Apocalypse Now.
Both of these
Heart of
films,
Darkness
both
being
both
the better
films
film.
Still be 2.5 hours each.
Yeah. No one can remember being in this film, particularly Finn Wolfhard.
Yeah. They've got the same runtime and the same ending. So it's Joseph Kony is going, "The child is meaningless," at the end.
But no one can figure out why they're in this. Basically, there's this documentary crew following round all these actors being like, "So what was it like being in The Child is Meaningless?" And they were like, "What? I was never in The Child is Meaningless." They get shown footage of them in The Child is Meaningless. They do not remember ever wearing those clothes, never being cool in that room. Location.
No, I've got it, right? They say, right, do you remember being in the film The Child is Meaningless? What? The Child is Meaningless? They filmed that and used the footage of them saying The Child is Meaningless to put in the film to show everyone at the end.
That doesn't explain why Finn Wolfhard was in it, right? Because he's
Finn Wolfhard had no idea.
All the way through all this stuff. And what we find out was that he got Derren Brown.
Derren Brown convinced him to just walk slowly through the ocean.
Derren Brown has never spoken to Finn Wolfhard, but the idea being that, like, he implanted the suggestion to walk through all these locations.
Oh, gold.
Including the bottom of the sea.
Okay. Right.
Well, either way, it was a spiritual and emotional journey for everyone involved.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Like, I felt something just listening to the pitch of that movie. My God.
Felt pretty meaningless.
Yeah, like the child. Okay, so that's all our honourable mentions this week. Remember to give us titles any time of the week. You can find us on facebook.com/Life's a Pitch Podcast and Twitter @ Life's a Pitch Show as well. You can also find us on SoundCloud, where we've got all the stuff that we've put up ever on there. All the episodes of the podcast are on soundcloud.com/Life's a Pitch Podcast. You can also get it on iTunes, Acast, anywhere where you can get a podcast, basically. All the apps that have podcasts on them, type in Life's a Pitch Podcast and find it there. Whichever's easiest for you, really.
And don't forget, when you go over there, to leave us a 5-star review. We always like to hear from you guys, leaving us those nice time reviews, telling everyone on those platforms that this is a good podcast and not one of the bad ones. It's one of the good ones, guys. I promise it's not meaningless. It's one of the good ones.
It's one of the best ones. Like, yeah, go share it and stuff. Share it with your friends. Put it on social media. Splash it out there, guys. If you like the show, push it out there. Seriously, it'll do us a lot of favours doing that.
Yeah.
However, if you want to contribute to the show other than sharing and helping expose the show for what it is,
if you what if you feel like, you know what, I want to help the show out because I like it, but I don't want to let anyone else know I like it. I don't want to tell any of my friends because they will think I'm insane. Then that's a perfectly founded concern. You can go over to patreon.com/Life's a Pitch Podcast to give us a little bit of money each month to help keep the podcast going. You can get a vote on the genre, like all of our patrons did this week, in order to give you these fantastic art house films. You can vote on the genre for just $1 a month. You can get bonus behind the scenes footage. You can get a bonus pitch every single month. You can get all sorts of stuff over there. So head on over
there.
There's
a few tiers of supporting us, but yeah, $1 a month is the lowest thing you can contribute, and that's like nothing really. That's like 25 cents a week.
Yeah, that is very little. You wouldn't miss it if it fell out of your pocket.
No.
And that's what we're doing with Life's a Pitch.
I've got 25 pence on my desk right now.
He's holding it up to the camera, guys.
I see it as well.
Yeah, that I'm not doing anything with. It's just there. I mean, I can give you that.
Yes,
tomorrow.
Please. Thanks.
That'd be something done for the week. So yeah, go to patreon.com/Life's a Pitch Podcast and give us your money.
That's what I like to think we're doing on this podcast, is slowly encouraging 25 pence to fall out of our listeners' pockets a week.
come on.
Just massaging your pocket area. Yeah. until it falls out.
My money. Why can't you?
So, speaking of Patreon, our patrons who are currently contributing to the show are Ross_Originals, My Waste of Talent, Brandon Spanky Mills, Joe Hegarty, Brent Black, Spicy Boy, Mihir Trivedi, Alex Keane and Stephen Douglas Thomas. So thank you guys for your contributions. If you want your name to be read out, go to Life's a Pitch Podcast.
Thank you all.
On Patreon.
Yep, absolutely. And thanks you guys. And thank you if you're wanting to join those ranks.
So we've got an award to give away before we move on to the final pitch. That's the Yes, Very Clever Award.
Yes, very clever.
An award we give to people who've given us titles that are based on existing titles, so we couldn't do really much of it. To be honest, this one we can probably could have done quite a lot with, seeing as it's art house, so we can interpret it any way we want.
Do what we want.
Do what we want with it. But from Chad Heathcliff Bentley, we've been given Not Being Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, I think we could have done something with that.
We could have done a lot with that, I think. But thank you for that, Chad. And thank you to everyone who's given us titles this week. Again, we've got loads. We do really appreciate every title given to us. So keep giving us those titles on facebook.com/ Life's a Pitch Podcast and Twitter @ Life's a Pitch Show. Moving on to our main pitch this week, the title given to us from Marcus Newman that was Standing on the Edge of a Cliff and Shouting Sarah at the Sea.
Well, okay, I know the ending of this film.
Yeah.
We just need to find out how to get there.
Okay,
so what's the ending?
The ending of this film is Martin Freeman standing at the edge of a cliff, shouting Sarah, and then at the sea, and then the sea sits up and says yes.
Go on. Right. Okay.
We need to get Martin Freeman there. And I think we start off with Martin Freeman, well, not as a child, but like a child playing Martin Freeman's character as a child, right?
No. We have Martin Freeman as a child.
Martin Freeman in a party hat.
Bubble hat on, yeah.
Yeah, and Martin Freeman in a little bubble hat with a helicopter on it, with a lollipop.
He's got a lollipop, he's on a scooter.
Yep.
Okay. He's got shorts on.
And Martin Freeman's he's like, oh man, why do you have to go? So we cut down, establishing shot, exterior, lighthouse. Cut to lighthouse in the middle of a storm. Cut to interior, interior of this lighthouse. Martin Freeman, in all his childish regalia, talking to a bearded Brian Blessed.
Yeah.
He says, "Dad, why do you have to go off to work?" And Brian,
because, son, if I don't work at the lighthouse, ships crash into the rocks.
That's what he says.
And he's like,
son, do you want me to not help the ships go into the rocks? Do you want me to murder people? I will, you know.
He says, no,
cut
Dad.
Cut out the middleman. I'm just going to just kill people if that's what you want.
No, Dad, for the last time, I don't
bring
want
me
you
my
to
sniper
people.
Rifle.
But, Dad, when are you going to get... when are you gonna get a girlfriend? Mum died. Mum died 10 years ago. Are you ever gonna get a?
How old is Martin Freeman?
I don't know. 13.
He's seven.
Right. Mum died 10 years ago.
Brian Blessed said, but I do have a girlfriend.
My mistress is the sea.
And her name is Sarah.
It's in his contract to do that.
to jowl wobble.
And then he starts... No, that wasn't a jowl wobble. That was him eating a raw dead seal.
I think, okay, so he doesn't reveal that the sea's name is Sarah just yet. He says, my mistress is the sea, then looks wistfully out the window.
And the sea is in lingerie.
No, the sea, this, at this point, the sea is not personified.
Just the sea.
Okay.
I'm thinking of the location for Light Between Oceans.
Yeah. New Zealand. I think it's New Zealand, or it might be Australian. I didn't really care when I watched that film.
But either way, like he literally means I'm married to the ocean.
Yeah.
He's like, well, I mean, I imagine that our viewers are going to think, yeah, he says that like all the other sailors say that. And
he listened to Brandy, You're a Fine Girl, and he took it.
Yeah, I was about to say this.
And he says, no, Martin, little child Martin, remember to turn the lamp on. I'm going out to sea. You need to remember to turn the lamp on at 9 p.m.
So when it's winter, he just doesn't turn it on when it gets dark. There's like 4 hours of darkness. Remember to turn the light on at 9 p.m.
Rules.
I assume there are different times for different days, but today it's 9 p.m.
Okay, fair enough.
It's middle of summer.
I thought he was going out to sea to die. I was like, because that's where this is going, right?
He's going out to sea to die.
Honestly, thought Brian Blessed's character would know that he was going out to sea to die.
So, okay, so he says, remember to turn the lamp on at 9 p.m. And then he goes out to sea to die. So he never comes back. And okay. Martin Freeman turns the lamp on at 9 p.m. And when he wakes up in the morning...
He's a regular businessman.
Well, I say we cut away. He turns the lamp on at 9 p.m. and goes to bed, right? Mm. Wakes up, adult Martin Freeman. He doesn't, like, that time skip doesn't happen, but, like,
he wakes up an adult.
We cut to,
like, big...
Like, there has to be someone that he has meets when he's a child, and then it's the next day who literally has to say, it's another day, and now you're an adult. What's going on?
Well, because he's just turned 13.
Yes.
You're a man now, tiny child Martin. Your dad's just died.
I could be a bit more blunt about this due to your maturity. Your dad's dead.
Is he still working at the lighthouse?
I imagine so. It's...
Well, it's only the next day.
But he's fully adult Martin Freeman.
Yeah, but he already was. He was just in a little helicopter cap and with a lollipop.
You got me there.
There's a lot in art house films where you reach a point where you're not sure where you're going, and all you have to say is that it's open to interpretation. And that kind of solves everything.
No, it's definitely the next day, and he's definitely just turned 13, and he's definitely considered an adult now in this society. And he definitely, as he walks into town, has his various regalia, so like his light-up trainers... His helicopter hat, his lollipop, his braces, his book bag, and pencil case. He has all of them stripped away from him, like by grasping hands as he walks past a load of houses.
It has to be people in like green suits, like mocap suits.
Yeah.
We just couldn't afford to put CGI in it because why would we want to?
Reaching out of like the stone coastal houses in a seaside village. Yeah. They're in green mocap suits and they're just grasping at him for those pieces of childhood.
Pulling off all the childhood regalia, so he's there in the town naked, being
as an adult,
being hit by brooms. the local sweepers are just like Martin Freeman, and they keep pushing brooms into his naked body.
Martin Freeman, get in the sea, man.
Yeah, Martin Freeman, get in the sea, man. Martin Freeman. So Martin Freeman pushes them away and goes, Mother! Where art thou?
Yep.
Because he's quote Shakespeare.
Yep.
And runs up to the top of the lighthouse. And for the next 20 minutes, he does a weird kind of dance.
He turns the lamp on. He turns the lamp on. He turns the lamp on, like, when it shouldn't be turned on. It's just foggy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he turns the lamp on at, like, 7 p.m. And then he starts dancing in front of it. And it's an interpretive dance that we've left up to Martin Freeman, the actor.
Yeah. Which brings all the seals out of the sea.
I don't think it should be as much of an interpretive dance. I think it should be a replica of the dance Willem Dafoe did in that one video of his from his early days.
Oh, yeah, where he's naked.
Yeah.
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 Naked Willem Dafoe dancing from... But, like, the seals all clamber up the side of the lighthouse.
Right.
There's thousands of them, so they're all balancing on top of each other, like, climbing up like a...
It's like World War Z.
The zombies from World War Z, but with seals. It's like World War C.
World War C. All the seals.
All the seals come up to the lighthouse and then turn it into one giant seal with the face of Martin Freeman.
They all just merge together with a Martin Freeman face.
Well, like, these seals are made out of clay.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. So, right, I've got the perfect shot. He's dancing in front of his lighthouse. You see all these seals climbing up the side of the lighthouse, World War Z style, right?
Mm.
Then, camera is sort of inside the lighthouse, kind of like the glass bit of the lighthouse, right? See Martin Freeman enveloped in grey, right? And then the windows are stacked up with grey upon grey upon grey until the whole thing is grey. And then cut away, we cut away secretly, it's a hidden cut, pull out, and suddenly everything is stop claymation, Aardman style.
That's quite good.
I love it.
And suddenly you can see on the coast below them, this giant seal with a face of Martin Freeman can see down into the seaside village. And they slither off. No sign of the lighthouse anymore. It just slithers off the top of this rock. I don't know what seals do. Galomp.
Just splashes into the sea, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Can I just say right now, this sounds a lot like a film I watched called The Red Turtle.
Okay.
This is a very
oh my god,
film.
Yes.
We are doing exceptionally well at Art House here.
No, it is very much like The Red Turtle, I just realised.
I've never seen that, and then the Aardman thing was my idea.
it goes down into the sea.
Down, deeper and deeper and deeper.
Where Brian Blessed is sat there on a rock with a trident. And it goes, you are the son of Poseidon.
I was going to say Poseidon.
Yeah.
But then
seal.
But
boy.
There has to be a point where we find out who Sarah is.
Yeah, I don't think we see Brian Blessed. I think, like, we find the corpse of Brian Blessed on the seabed,
but
next
still
to the wreck
a
of a ship.
Poseidon outfit.
But he's wearing a Poseidon costume. And he said, and next to him is a note that says,
in voiceover,
to Sarah, I have searched for you. Over so many years since you died to the waves 10 years ago.
Now the sea is my mistress.
And the sea claims me.
So Martin Freeman's seal claymation goes back to the to the town.
And where, he's, like, where again the people are all like, now the people are terrified of him because now he has this giant. He's a giant seal.
No, the people tear him apart again, and he just ends up naked Martin Freeman in the town square, being brushed by the sweeper men.
Yeah, he's reborn.
Oh, but going, okay, Martin Freeman earlier then, in which the fishermen sing a shanty, right?
Yeah.
Just before they all tear Martin Freeman's child clothes off, because this is obviously a metaphor for coming of age, right? Just before the people of the town tear Martin Freeman's child clothes off and make him an adult, the fishermen sing a shanty about how they owe their lives to the sea, and if the sea were ever to leave, they'd be ruined.
Yeah.
So what happens when they rip off all his clothes to create the adult Martin Freeman?
But they all start singing Martin Freeman, from a seal to a man. Martin Freeman, from a seal to a man.
And there's
no more a seal man.
Keith Allen is there with bad teeth, and he's got an accordion, and he's playing a little jaunty tune along to Martin Freeman, from a seal to a man. And
I'm thinking this is where Martin Freeman looks at the letter and goes, Sarah, who's Sarah?
Martin Freeman looks at the letter, looks down, he's like ashamed in the centre of his town square, and he takes off running, and the whole town takes off running after him, chasing him with torches and pitchforks.
Wait, don't they like him?
No.
They were happy he was no longer a seal man.
No. They hate him. They hate Martin Freeman. They took his innocence away, and now they took all his warm, blubbery meat away.
Sounds like they turned him into one of them, though. Like,
be a normal person.
I suppose I haven't watched someone go from being a seal to being a man, so I can't really see it from their perspective.
I think they hate him because he's different.
We hate him because he's different, by the way.
They say. Yeah.
They keep saying that.
Keith Allen says that specifically very loudly.
Keith Allen says it in the song, we hate him because he's different.
Yeah. And he runs.
We hate him because he's different. That's the only song sung. And it's just
No,
one.
They've already sung a jaunty song.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
Oh,
yeah,
but not even song.
Oh, in their livelihood to the sea.
it's a musical.
It's not a musical entirely. It just has a song in it, and it's very sort of like, is it media res? In media res, like the
medias res. So halfway through a conversation.
Oh no, that's not what I mean. What do I mean? When music is clearly in universe.
Oh, diegetic.
Yeah, it's diegetic music. So this is a sea shanty. These fishermen actually sing. It's not a musical score. It's not a musical number. It's very much we're fishing along and we sing a fishing song.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's all chase this seal man away from.
now that we've dispelled the rumours that this is a musical, Martin Freeman's rushing up onto the cliffs in this huge pile of people, and it's like conceptually they become this because it's still in Aardman.
Yeah.
Or when they ripped it apart, did it become normal again?
When he's no longer a seal, he becomes normal again.
Yeah, I think when he's no longer a seal, he becomes normal.
Okay, but like, so these people are chasing up this hill with torches and pitchforks, and he goes up to like what is essentially like the White Cliffs of Dover, like a cold cliff out into the sea that if you'd fall into jagged rocks, and they're all behind him, and
he turns around, right, and goes, "Look at what you've done. Look like, at yourselves."
I'm lost. What did they do?
It's like it. Whatever you thought they did, Adam, that's what they've done. Well,
they forced him to come to a realization about himself. That his mistress is to the sea.
Yeah.
It is not the sea itself, but it is to the sea.
Yeah. It is also the sea.
It is also the sea. So he turns around and shouts, "Sarah!" And the sea sits up and goes, hello.
Yep.
Is it me you're looking for? It's Lionel Richie.
It's not. It's
Lionel Richie.
His name's not Sarah.
The sea sits up, and as the sea sits up, all the water retreats from this seaside village.
Yeah.
And everyone looks around and goes, no, my livelihood! Because all their boats are dashed upon the rocks. Yeah.
But all the treasure that they've lost over the years is washed up on the shore. So they're like, oh my god, look at all these family heirlooms that we've lost. We lost ourselves to the sea.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like, the message.
We lost ourselves to the sea.
Yeah.
Right.
Ryan Bessard lost himself to the sea. I think Martin Freeman spent a bit of time losing himself to the sea. And to an extent, yeah. I think the townspeople lost something. I don't know.
It's a metaphor for how weird the sea is.
See, I thought that it was that, like, Brian Blessed lost himself to the loss of his wife.
To the sea.
Martin Freeman lost himself and was forced into adulthood by the loss of his father, but then became obsessed with trying to find his place in the world through the loss of his parents.
Nah.
And then he eventually discovered his place on the side... on the coast, not in this community, but of the community.
Nah. Sea's weird.
Sea's weird, isn't it?
Sea is weird. It goes in and out, and no one knows why.
It might have something to do with seals. We don't know.
I think it's magnets.
Magnets, it could be seals.
I've heard the moon has something to do with it, but I don't know. That sounds stupid.
The what?
That's mysterious as well, isn't it?
The what?
The moon.
The moon.
The what moon. The fuck are you talking about?
It's pretty mysterious, huh?
What the fuck the moon's got to do with the tide?
It's either magnet or seals. I think we've figured it out. It's either magnets
or seals. Yeah. That's the message of the film. It's either magnets or seals.
And the credits roll... Over.
Our house films has a very definitive ending. It's either magnets or seals.
That's the title that comes up bang at the end.
And Seal Kiss from a Rose, please.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yep.
Yeah.
Mind meld there with that one.
There we are.
At this point, I think the film festival sort of collapsed in on itself. The film itself is just to the ground.
The cinema we're showing this in has just burned down.
Turns out we didn't do anything about that guy set his chair on fire, so that's what happens.
You know that bit in Planet Terror where the reel sets on fire?
Yeah.
It's like that, but in real.
At some point, no one realised.
This whole cinema has been on fire.
So what you're saying is we've pitched a few films that were all in the same film festival that was all in a film.
See, this is why I'm on this show. I'm bringing something to the table here, mate.
We've pitched a few films and an arson.
It's a film.
Which is the
film.
Name of this film.
The secret hidden film underneath it all.
Yeah, a few films and an arson.
Oh my god. So yeah, that was a few films and an arson. Also standing on the edge of a cliff and shouting Sarah at the sea.
This film is about 12 hours long and will every single emotion you have ever thought to have.
And some you didn't realise you had.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, so,
this is going to explain something about yourself. Not all of it you're going to like.
I shat myself a few times.
3 stars, IMDb.
3 uncomfortable wiggles out of 4.
Three uncomfortable wiggles.
Okay, I liked it. It had some good action sequences, but I wish they'd stop forcing this diversity by putting Lionel Richie in it. That's a 2-star Rotten Tomatoes review.
From, Lionel is C.
From Anonymous.
I only shit myself because of my severe diarrhea.
Okay, yeah, so that was standing at the sea, standing on the edge of a cliff and shouting Sarah at the sea. Or standing at the sea, as what it will be known in some cult circles.
Yeah, that was the original working title.
Yeah.
That's the name of the original director's cut.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing to do with Sarah at the end. It's actually a coherent film.
Well, there was the Hollywood mainstream re-edited version of it, which replaces Martin Freeman's voice of Vin Diesel. And most of it is just clips from Chronicles of Riddick, taken out of context.
We go one speed. Mine. But, yeah, thank you for listening to this week's Art House episode. I hope you've enjoyed it. If you haven't, you just didn't get it. So
that's how I got through film school.
Remember to find us on Facebook and Twitter and let us know what you thought of the episode on there if you want. If you follow us, like us, yeah, let us know what you thought of this week's episode.
Yes,
give us a like.
I really want to know what people think about all of this.
Yeah, I really do. I'm really interested to find out what people thought about this one as well.
And then and then loudly explain why they're wrong.
Yes. That's what we shall do. Yeah, if you didn't like the episode, let us know and we'll let you know why you're wrong. So thank you, Adam, for coming on.
Yo. It was very good fun, this.
Yep. It was a top time. Where can people find you on the internet, Adam?
At AdamONFTW. I'm usually talking about whatever films I'm watching at a time. I'm actually on it now as well, so that helps.
That does usually help to be actually on it. Make sure you go over to Facebook and Twitter. Facebook /. You done it?
Yeah.
Cool.
Patreon.
Make sure you share the episode, share the podcast, and go over to patreon.com/LivesOfPitchPodcast if you want to share the show. And until you find yourself standing at the top of a lighthouse, until seals stand end on end.
Yeah.
Like the balancing of balls to simultaneously absorb you into their claymation ranks. So that you can threaten to smash a town but be ripped apart.
Yeah.
Which happens to all of us at some point in our life.
If it hasn't happened to you, well, maybe you're just not into high concept cinema.
Until then, I've been Matt Turner.
I've been Tom McGrath.
My name's Adam Owen. Hi.
Remember who pitched it.
Bye! It's a great metaphor for just the podcast.
The podcast is meaningless.